Next, in this episode of Inside Frozen 2,
we talk about believe in the process.
Yeah.
Because while you're in it, it's very hard to see how you're going to get to the end.
Why did this one resonate that much, and what is the Frozen effect?
Someone wrote in saying that because of Elsa's journey, I'm still here on this planet because of Elsa and because of your movie.
I'm Ginger Z, and I am so honored. I'm right in the very studios where the cast recorded their dialogue for Frozen 2. It's so cool. Wait till you hear about the process. We're also going to talk to Frozen 2's director, Chris Buck, and producer Peter Delveco, next on Inside Frozen 2.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. This was pretty special. So I've just seen it. So it's very fresh. But yet I feel like I could watch five more times. How many times have you watched it?
I was going to say five more times.
Boy, over the last 3 years.
It's a little more than five.
Yeah.
A little more than five times. Yeah. We've had to see it in different versions. We had to see the final mix. We had to see it in stereo. We had to see it sitting through the whole thing probably at least six or seven times in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. Chris, congratulations, because this has been, you know, the story has been trying to get out there since the 1930s, I think, Disney, right?
Yeah.
And your version not only made it, but then helped by your giant team that's so talented, has now the first animated musical sequel.
Yes.
Amazing.
I know. I don't have time to really sort of sit back and think about it all. It's overwhelming when you do. I just got a text today from my son. He's in New York, and he's connected with musical theater, but he had Patty Murin, who plays Anna on Broadway. It was her, not her last day, but she was sort of sending off the Frozen tour cast, and she was emotional and all this, and he just wrote, look, all the lives that you've affected, and I said, it's overwhelming, but, you know, it's in a great way, and as an artist, you know, you want to do something that, you know, says something to people, that touches them, that makes them laugh, does whatever, but reaches out and affects them. And there's nothing I could have imagined for this. I could never have imagined this one would be, as powerful as it has been.
What is the first question that you wanted to answer for everybody? What is the, that you knew had to be a part of this film?
Well, Peter, you can talk to that because you were traveling the world. And
I did get to travel the world with students and artists. And I kept hearing the same question over and over again. Everyone wanted to know, where did Elsa get her powers?
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, I think that was sort of the genesis of I think there's more story to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everyone, that was just kind of ambiguous. Like, well, she got powers.
Right.
So,
yeah, and in the first one, we were okay with not really answering it. It was like, well, it's okay. We don't necessarily need to answer it for that story, mm-hmm. for the first part of it. But in this one, it just felt like you just wanted to dig deeper, and she wanted to know. That's a question that everybody can relate to, especially young adults. But that's, we looked at Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, and really all of them sort of as, you know, in their early 20s, just sort of having graduated college, and the world is wide open for them now. But what are they going to do with it? Where do they go? Where is their path going to take them? And what do they have to give the world?
Promise me we do this together, okay?
I promise.
And I will say that time in my life, and I always tell people I find that time to be one of the most difficult points in my life, and I think it is for a lot of people.
I think we can all remember it, and we also happen to have our own children who are varying stages of college, some graduating college, and so it was very relevant to us as well.
Yeah, and at the time, yours were just starting college, right? Yes. When we started on this movie, and now
it's ironic to think that my kids started college and finished college before we could finish the movie.
Yeah, that's speaking of timelines, that's kind of your gig, right,
sure.
Peter? So
yes.
You've got to keep – how much do you count on them saying, no, we really do need this much more time? I mean, how much do you push and what is
– Well, the overall schedule, we have a release date when we start. So we know there is a point that we have to finish the movie. And I think we work as partners. We're all on the same team. We all want the same goal, to get the best movie we can up on the screen. We know we have limited time, limited resource, but we also have an amazing crew who's very talented at what they can do. And really, they surprise us in what they can bring to the movie. Yes, we have discussions, but it's always about finding that compromise.
You never have to do a tough, meeting with us. It's usually just like, guys, we really need to hit this certain mark, and we got it.
I was going to say, is there anything in 2 that was cut from original Frozen?
I don't think so. Okay. Not really. I mean, when we started to – I don't think we had really started to explore Elsa's connection to nature or even thought about that yet. Right. I mean, besides her ice and snow powers, but not the characters that now we have,
Like the first movie, there were many versions of this movie along the way, and many sequences or songs that, at one point were relevant. And then as the story evolved and changed, they had to change as well.
Do you have any of those that just you're holding on to? Like, man, that was my favorite. Or because everybody, that's the thing about collaboration. It's not going to be all one happy family. Everybody's going to agree all the time. Is there something?
We had a really fun song for Kristoff and Anna. That that people will hear because it'll be available for them to hear it, and I did love that song. Got to get this right. It's Kristoff. He wants to propose to Anna, but he wants to do it in the right way.
It's not you, it's me. The timing and the setting aren't what I thought they'd be. There's probably someone better for you out there anyway. Maybe I just need some space.
What happened, I think, was that storyline became a little, almost too big. And then it also, we had them break up at one point.
Oh.
I want to get this right.
And it was, it was almost a little too sad.
Well, she does seem, every time she's got that insecure, like, wait, not with me? You don't want to be? Which is such a common feeling for a lot of relationships when you're unsure. Yeah.
Right. And it's interesting. Anytime we would veer away from Anna and Elsa as the main story, it just didn't feel right.
So can we talk about some of the new characters? Where the impetus for, say, the fire salamander? Where does this?
It came about as it was one of the four elements. When we first started the movie, we had just anticipated the one element, gale, wind. Mm-hmm. But the more the story developed, the more it felt like we needed all four, earth, wind. And he represents fire in the movie. And that came from Scandinavian folklore, where people bring in wood that's been stored outside. They bring it in the fire. When they light the fire, sometimes salamanders have hidden in the wood and they come running out. So they get associated with fire. And so it made sense to us to incorporate him as the fire element. Mm-hmm.
But yet the cutest fire element in the world, right? Cannot get cuter. And I think it's almost like you're kind of opening a bit of an Olaf door a little bit, where you have this, he's not speaking and saying ridiculous things, but you have that cuteness and lovable, we needed even more of that. Who is the comedian? Who's the most driver of the Olaf, brand, would you say?
Well, it's no question. It's Josh Gad.
Well, oh, Josh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'd say, because Josh, she was telling me that Josh, especially in that Frozen recap, was ad-libbing a lot of that, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying some of it is written prior.
Jen, our screenwriter.
It is Jen. She's the comedian of the group, though.
Well, I think she works really well in collaboration with the actor. I mean, really, we found on the first film, I think she found the voice of Olaf by meeting Josh Gad and really working in the studio. And
she had seen a test that the animators had done, and it was Josh on The Tonight Show, I think. Mm-hmm. And they just used a clip of that, but with Olaf talking. And
oh, my gosh.
She just went, oh, I he has to be the one. And we had already wanted Josh, and for some reason he was going to go off and do another project. But luckily we got him back. And then the very first scene that we did with him, when you meet Olaf in the first film, we just worked and worked and worked it. And we just kept playing it. And he kept playing. And we found it.
Olaf.
And you are...
I'm Anna.
And who's the funky-looking donkey over there?
That's Sven.
Uh-huh. And who's the reindeer?
The thing that I had, you know, come up with Olaf in an earlier version before Jen was even there, and Olaf was originally when Elsa was a villain. Mm-hmm. He was one of her guards. And so Marshmallow, the big snowman, was going to be... There were going to be lots of marshmallows, so he was one of them, but... We thought that Elsa's power is just an entertaining thing, was that she's still learning and she hadn't quite gotten it yet. So Olaf was the very first guard that she made, and he looked like he did. And so we called Olaf like the first pancake.
Okay.
The
yep.
Pancake, a little burn on the bottom that you throw away. So it was like, so there's Olaf. So Olaf started like that. He was kind of a... He was fun. He was a little annoying, mm-hmm. But he was... I knew... As an animator, so I started as an animator, I knew that he was animation gold.
Do you think you could show us the way?
Yeah, why?
How does this work?
Ow!
Stop it, Sven. Try and focus here.
When this started and you brought Jen Lee on and you two had a relationship that now has evolved, much like Anna and Elsa's, I would imagine, what can you tell us about that has changed or good, bad?
Jen has now become the queen and I'm off.
Yeah.
I'm off riding towards the glacier.
Yeah.
All three of us, we have a great collaboration. We support each other. We rarely argue. And usually it's just kind of disagreements. And mm-hmm. you put it well whenever we disagree.
What I love about when we disagree, usually it leads to a third idea that's even better. So that kind of disagreement's not arguing. It's just that creative differences. But again, it always... Mm-hmm. Seems to lead to something better.
I'm always of the mind of if someone is passionate about an idea, even though I might not agree with it, I say go for it. Mm-hmm. Go for it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But usually it does because they're so passionate about it. They usually make it work.
Do you remember one of the first things that the animators surprised you with or did better than you could have thought?
Oh, my God. That happened almost every daily.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Yeah. The level of animation, the level of creativity. I mean, we come up obviously in the story room, but mm-hmm. what they bring to it is huge.
Like, give me an example of one of the moments, if you can.
Well, okay, so Olaf dying.
Yeah.
We knew, obviously, it was going to be a very emotional scene.
Who decided Olaf was going to die? That's not nice.
that came up in a very, very early...
Well, he doesn't
die.
Well, he disappears for a time.
He disappears.
That came up early offsite discussion, yeah. And I got chills. And yeah. Jen said, "You've got chills with that, don't you?" And somehow mm-hmm. it stuck. Mm-hmm. And
we knew that it was a very powerful moment. Yeah. It could be a very powerful moment, and what that would mean for Anna and Elsa. And mm-hmm. but it was all about, you know, or having to earn it, of course. And why would that happen? And but when we realize, well, if something's happening to Elsa and they're so connected, then, you know, then something would happen to Olaf. We had it earlier, an earlier version where Olaf was actually feeling everything Elsa felt. Mm. He could almost read her mind. And we had that throughout. So, and this was still in there as like by the time that Elsa was going to freeze, that Olaf, you know, disappears and flurries away too. We felt like we didn't need it as much, so we kind of stripped that away earlier.
You got a little bit of that feeling is that he's saying, I don't think she's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that scene. It's a very long scene, very emotional. And Jen and I just went, okay, this is phenomenal. I don't want to see it again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, because usually we watch them over and over and over and we give notes and we just went, that's phenomenal.
leave it.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah, wow. We just, and every time we would see it in different iterations, we'd see it with effects, with all the flurries, and it would just get more emotional. Then we see it with final lighting, same thing. And I honestly said, that's good. It's great.
What's enough. The one that you gave the most notes on?
I mean, the most interactive, but not so much for notes, was the whole development of the water knock and what that's going to look like and all the different departments working together. That wasn't really notes. It was that collaborative effort between animation effects and lighting and our visual development partners. And that was a big mm-hmm. challenge. So creatively, Show Yourself was probably... we knew it was a very important moment in the movie, but what that song should be, and working with Bobby and Kristen, who are great collaborators, but finding the version of that that worked. I think Mark Smith probably boarded that, 20 times. They rewrote and rewrote the song many times, and I think it wasn't until someone, I can't even remember who, came up with the idea of integrating the lullaby into the end of that and bringing the mother in. That's what really made it resonate.
Because we originally were thinking, well, what if we do a Let It Go reprise in there? And we did, and they tried it. It was very emotional. But there was still something missing, and it was connecting the mom to that moment that finally, with her lullaby, that's when it really just, we just went, oh, this is incredible. So, but it was a tough one. And I'll be honest, it was a tough one. There were times that I just went, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work. There were moments, some versions I went, it's awesome. And sometimes it would get broken again, mm-hmm. and you go, oh, what's happening? So that was a real bear of a sequence to do.
Did y'all always know that you'd have her kind of scoff at the frozen her saying, let it go?
No.
That was added?
That was later when she brings all the
memories
down. That was her just, we actually just went through and did like a little gag pass. It's like, what would be fun for the audience to memories of that? And we had always, so there's the Let It Go moment, but then there was always talked about how can we get Hans in the movie without it feeling like really weird that he's showing up for some reason.
Because I did, you kind of want to know.
Yeah, I know. And so that was at least our nod to it. It's like, and then, for her to be able to sort of disintegrate him, it's like very satisfying.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
When I listen to you guys talk, and I've been writing a bit and writing children's and then writing adult books, and I'm thinking of just telling stories, but I wonder, everyone's talking about not writing linearly. I mean, pretty much, where you just have it feels, even as we're speaking, kind of messy. How do you keep this train rolling? How does it somehow suddenly become this magical Frozen 2?
We talk about believe in the process, because while you're in it, it's very hard to see how you're going to get to the end.
Yeah.
I think the idea of, we generally get the movie up, sometimes just in the beginning, just a story sketch, so we hire the actors, and about every 3 months we screen it for ourselves, but also all the other writers and directors at the studio who aren't on the project to help give us notes, and those sessions can be
It's painful.
Brutal.
Yeah. Okay.
But we basically then rip it apart and rebuild it.
Even just thinking creatively, that could be a struggle. If you were speaking to someone who wanted to become a storyteller, would you encourage this sort of madness? Or what?
Jen will write a whole script.
Oh, yeah.
So it is linear in that part. But the way we work, it's, I don't think you can work linearly. I mean, as you said, both movies, we knew the ending. We just didn't know how to get there, how to earn that ending.
We hadn't earned it. You have your characters and you have the ending, but and then you have moments along the way that you go, this would be really cool. Mm-hmm. This would be cool. How can we make – or really emotional. How can we make this – this work.
And even stopping yourself, editing yourself, right? Because I'm sure there's a certain point where you're like, we can't keep changing this. Mm-hmm. But if it's that good of an idea, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of good, really great ideas will resurface. Ones that you threw out a year ago, suddenly the story has changed again. And you're like, what about that? And it comes back in a different form. You're like, oh, my gosh, it was there all the time.
Is this part of the success? I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of evolution of how Disney animation has worked. But would you say this is part of the success of what Frozen meant to the world? Or do you think it's different the way it's put together that way?
I think certainly in our recent films, I'm talking from Tangled On, this idea of we're all responsible for each other's films at the studio, whether we're working on it or not, I think has made a big difference. Mm-hmm. And like you said, sometimes hearing the critique is hard to take. And it's the solution that is presented in the room isn't always the right solution. But if people are all giving you notes around the same area, you know there's a problem to solve. And so you work the problem in the room and come up with a solution that's right for the movie.
Because we always say, well, what's the note behind the note? Because we may not want to follow that exact note that someone gave, but, you know, but what is the issue there?
Yeah. And I think this is people listening to this may be saying, and I'm sure you're asking half the time, like, how did I get here? But truly, how do you get here? How if someone is just dreaming right now and they're dreaming of working in Disney or working in animation or working in storytelling, how do they do this?
Well, I mean, for me, it is. It was a dream. I drew all my childhood. I loved drawing and I loved watching Disney cartoons. So I grew up on that. You know, when I was younger, didn't have the access to all the cartoons, and the films only came out like every few years, the animated films. And so when they did come, you know, it was very, very special. I fell in love with Pinocchio. I think it was the first movie I ever saw. And I keep going back to that as maybe the moment that I went, I'd really love to do this someday. And drawing, I didn't even understand what animation was, but I just, you know, I loved those characters. And then just drawing, and finally, finding the school, CalArts, which is just about 30 minutes away from here, and they had just started a character animation program, and we were the second year that was there, and I had besides Mike Giamo, who is our incredible production designer on this movie, in my class there. Tim Burton was in my class, and so we all kind of grew up together, and luckily with our student films, we got into Disney and started with the training program.
So no people like Tim Burton. Be friends, be as talented as, great, as Chris Buck and
no
Tim Burton.
No Tim Burton, I think it's just the passion, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to get to the place that we are. Nothing was handed to us. And, but it is, you have to have the passion. Animation can be a long process, you know, 3-4 years for a film. So it takes patience. But it does, it just takes persistence and patience and luck, I guess.
I think at the studio, obviously we get to work with some of the best artists, some of the best technicians, but all of them feel proud to be here and feel the legacy that came before. And it's sort of an honor to be here. And you're reminded every day what a creative process this is. And so I think passion is a big part of it, but that passion feeds on itself in this environment. And it's as hard as it is, we are very lucky to be working here.
When you think about Disney and Disney animation, maybe specifically, but Disney in general, is there something that you just know you have yet to do as far as what's next. I'm sure you don't want to talk about what's next when it's, you know, we've just come off of a giant project like this.
Sure. I mean, certainly keep challenging ourselves to tell great stories and stories that resonate around the world, surprise ourselves, challenge ourselves. I think each project is feels like a lifetime. We measure our lives in terms of which movie were we making when our children were born or whatever. Yeah.
People will talk about a lull pre-Tangled or something, but do you think that you have to have lulls to have the frozen highs?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess
because you can't just be frozen every day.
There are many great films that we've worked on and have made, including Frozen. That I think the big change for us was it once again became a filmmaker driven studio where the filmmakers decide do they have a passion to tell a story and it comes from within rather than you know getting scripts soliciting scripts and getting from the outside. It comes from the filmmakers, and I think that has made a big change for us in recent history.
What is the song in this film that you can't get out of your head that you go home singing?
Oh dear.
You know, when Bobby and Kristen deliver a song, I think we all play the songs in our cars and we sing them and we can't get them out of our head. And then they deliver a new song and the same thing happens all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I will say right now the crew is singing the songs in the studio, which is the same thing that happened on the first movie. So that's a good sign.
Into the Unknown is so catchy.
Yeah.
And that is just, it's so powerful too. I really, really do love that. And I love, you know, We're gonna have two versions now. We got Adina's version, which is just killer, and then we got Panic at the Disco's version, which is so amazing.
It starts the journey. It's visually, it's stunning. It actually means a lot to us. I think we realize in hindsight, Into the Unknown is a little bit of how do you make a sequel of to Frozen. That
sequel
feels a little bit of us going into the unknown. So
my producer Samantha, who is a meteorologist like myself, so we both have that in common. But she is the biggest Disney aficionado, and she wrote almost like a thank you that in the notes that she prepared for me and things, she said, because how much Frozen meant to her, and this is, you've heard around the world after making the first one, why did this one resonate that much, and what is the Frozen effect?
I mean, when we first movie first came, I think we knew we had a good movie, but nobody could have anticipated sort of the phenomena became or how much the movie would mean to people. And I think we were also YouTube had sort of just come into its own. So it was the first film that we had worked on where we got to see audience reaction. And that was pretty amazing feeling. And even since then, a lot of people have come up to us.
It's kind of amazing. It still is there. People love that movie. Those characters mean so much to them. You know, when we first, I think, where was it? It was in the spring of 14, and we were doing Reddit, you know, Ask Us Anything. And someone wrote in saying that because of the film and because of Elsa's journey, how much that meant to her, and she said she was having a tough time in her life, and she says, I'm still here on this planet because of Elsa and because of your movie. And we just went, oh my gosh. I mean, and starting to feel the power of that and what, you know, what these films can do for people. There were stories of children, autistic children, that were connecting with Olaf and we're talking, starting to talk and communicate with their parents because of Olaf. And there was just one after another. We met people at D23, these two women who somehow connected online, and they didn't have sisters and they found each other and now they consider each other sisters, and they're from two different countries. And they came dressed up as Anna and Elsa.
And even people who are sisters who somehow the movie reunited them and they brought their sister they hadn't talked with a long time to see the movie. And that was, you know, emotional to them and reconnected them. And and I mean, it goes on. We've had, you know, men who one gentleman who was in the Iraq War and lost some limbs. Mm-hmm. And there was something about Let It Go that made him realize he needed to put that part behind him and sort of accept who he was. And so, mm-hmm. again, on so many levels, it's touching.
So I will end the same way I'll end every interview, because I think it's perfect. And at D23, when they couldn't speak to me about really anything at all, Josh kept leaning over Kristen's shoulder and saying, because we're doing Frozen 3. And I mean, 6 times in the interview. Obviously, he was just joking, right? Yeah, we don't have a Frozen 3?
You know, we feel like Frozen 1 and Frozen 2 tells one complete story. Although at the time we did Frozen 1.
You thought it was a complete story.
We always, you know, now we joke, it's like, ask us in a year.
Right.
Because that's what it took. After the first one to go, there's more story to tell.
But is this kind of, now it's kind of opened or broken a dam, as we decided, into maybe something else for the future? Because I think a lot of the stories that we love, Tangled being one in my house, that you go, I mean, somebody said to me, well, she cut her hair, so that can't have another one. It's like, wait, but there could be more story. There could be. If there was one Disney film, whether it be Pinocchio, anything, what do you think also deserves a sequel?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, gee.
That is so hard, because all our films always feel like they're crafted to be a complete story. So.
But a favorite that maybe you say, I would have really loved to see more of this one.
I'm rattling through all the movies in my head, and it's hard to pick a favorite. It's like picking a favorite child.
I know, but even if just the first one comes, because obviously we all know, we all have our favorite children.
Okay,
Frozen 3.
I will say one. Yeah. I love, love, love this movie. I always loved it as a kid, and I think you could. I think they probably did one, a direct-to-video, but I would say Jungle Book.
Jungle Book, yeah.
There's something about, he goes to the man village at the very end,
right.
But it's like, but he's still a kid. So it's like, what is happening in that jungle, and those, I love all those animals there, and there could be more animals and all that kind of stuff, and more great songs.
Okay. So. Peter Pick.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. No, I don't know. Sorry.
All right. We'll let that one go. Thank you both so much for doing this.
No pun intended.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I really appreciate it.
Our thanks to Peter Delveco and Chris Buck for their time today, and for creating one of the best stories of all time. Inside Frozen 2 is a production of ABC Audio and Walt Disney Animation Studios, written and produced by Matt Wolf, with additional production by Trevor Hastings, Gabriel Stewart, Gabriel Guy, Andrew Page, Dana Schaefer, and my personal favorite Frozen fan, Samantha Winnick. Executive produced by Heidi Ohringer, and special thanks to Abe Velez and Josh Cohen at ABC. Oh, and Amy Astley, of course, at Walt Disney Animation Studios. I'm ABC's Ginger Z.